Welcome to the Hour of Hope. I'm your host, Dr. Matthew Broman. I'm the pastor of Safe Harbor Church in Accutane, Alaska, and I'm so glad you're with me on this wonderful time of the Hour of Hope. On today's program, we're going to dive into a lot of music. So I'm going to be honest with you. I had to go to the dentist this week, and so I just got back. It's late at night. Had to ride the boat. So we're not going to have as in-depth Bible studies we normally have, but I am going to share some fun things with you. But before we do anything else, let's open in prayer. Again, I'm Matthew Broman. You can email me if you want to get a hold of me, M-A-T-H-E-W-V as in Victor, R-O-M-A-N at gmail.com. Let's pray, and then let's listen to some more music. Father, thank you so much for this time to do the Hour of Hope. I pray you'd bless the listeners. They would be encouraged. Thank you again, in Jesus' name, amen. I think I've mentioned to you before that I have a YouTube channel. It's called By the Bible. If you wanted to get a feel for one of the programs, I actually have one of my programs I'm going to play in a minute, the audio. This is about a man who is trying to never die, which I know sounds crazy because the Bible is real clear. But I uploaded the audio from that, so you'll kind of hear what he says with some music, comedy, and but then the matter of fact, the Word of God, more importantly, because we aren't going to live forever. If we trust Christ, we'll have a great hope in heaven. But let's continue with more music.
3, 4. I raise a hallelujah
in the presence of my enemies.
I raise a hallelujah
louder than the unbelief.
I raise a hallelujah.
My weapon is a melody. In the middle of the storm, louder and louder, you're gonna hear my praises roar. Up from the ashes, hope will arise. Death is defeated, my King is alive.
Sing a little louder
in the presence of my enemies.
Sing a little
louder than the unbelief.
Sing a little louder.
My weapon is a melody. I sing a little louder. Sing a little louder. My fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love. My fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love. My fear doesn't stand a chance. Lay it all down, lay it all down, lay it all down, lay it all down. Lay it all down, lay it all down, lay it all down, lay it all down. At the feet of Jesus. At the feet of Jesus. At the feet of Jesus.
Yeah. Together and we would work on individual don't die initiatives.
I am Death.
Who is he, darling?
It's a Mr. Death or something. He's come about the reaping.
Big difference between mostly dead and all dead.
Welcome to Buy the Bible. I'm your host, Dr. Matthew Broman. I'm a pastor, a writer, but most importantly, I've been studying my Bible, and I hope that you're studying it too. On today's program, we're going to take the subject up, can someone defeat death? In other words, can they actually live forever and not die?
That's a good question.
A man, I don't know if you've heard about him, he's a man that made a lot of money in the business world. Now he's investing his fortune, millions of dollars every year, to do everything possible to reverse aging in his own body. So the question is, can one individual stop aging and ultimately defeat death?
But it would be a fascinating project.
Before we go on, though, please hit the subscribe button.
I will do it.
You will do it.
I will try.
Can someone defeat death? Well, obviously, yeah. There was someone defeated death, but can an individual through medical breakthrough, through all the wealth in the world, defeat death? Let's react to his video today.
I am Death.
Well, that's cast rather a gloom over the evening, hasn't it?
The biggest psychological barrier in our current culture, which is we perceive inevitable death.
He is asserting, in a minute he's going to talk about why, and I think it's a complete misunderstanding, that death, the inevitability of death, in other words, the reality of death, is a psych, or that belief in that, or that expectation, however you want to look at it, is a psychological problem. It's a bad thing to have that view that death is inevitable. Death, the only immortal who treats us all alike, whose pity and whose peace and whose refuge are for all, the soiled and the pure, the rich and the pure, the loved and the unloved. In other words, everybody experiences death. In Hebrews 9:27, the writer writes, "And it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment." So the reality of death is not, and understanding that, is not a psychological impairment, as he assumes.
It's therefore anything that happens, like whatever, we don't care.
There's two ways you look at death. If you're a believer in Christ and you're a believer not in Christ. If you're not a believer, well then exactly. Give to God, in other words, just enjoy. There's nothing else. But then for the believer, his perspective is 100% wrong. That's not what it means for somebody who believes in Christ and understands what God says in his word. No. In fact, in Psalms, the prophet Moses, he wrote this. In Psalm 90, verse 12, "So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom." He's saying, help me to number my days so I can apply my heart to wisdom. A correct view on our mortality is an understanding of the limited days we have here, so we need to live them wisely and perspective and righteous. That's what he's saying. And then you turn over to Psalm 118. Every day is a new blessing from God. So I completely disagree. I agree if you don't have God, that shit, you're like, well, there's no purpose because I'm just going to die and then I'm going to turn to worm food or whatever. But if you have a biblical perspective, there's no way you don't live with a passionate purpose for God. And every moment, every day is a gift, and we need to live that way, and we should. So his perspective, obviously, he's coming from somebody that doesn't believe, but he has a completely misunderstanding of how people of faith should view their mortality.
And so we have to overcome, and this is why I've been playfully challenging the status and authority of Jesus Christ.
He's challenging the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why at the beginning, he just thinks it's a joke. And he sees faith in Christ contributing to this, which is absolutely atrocious. But let's get back. This man is challenging the authority of this man that Jesus made is challenging Jesus Christ and his authority. Let that sink in. He challenges it and he jokes about it. If you're watching, please send this to him. Don't challenge the Lord Jesus Christ. He is going to return. He's going to judge the earth. Sir, I know we don't know each other. You probably never meet me. But Psalm 2, you remind me of a few verses here. This man's just taunting Jesus Christ. Let me read this to you. "Why do the heathens rage and the people imagine a vain thing?" This is a royal psalm that predicts the second coming when the Messiah will come and reign. "The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed," saying, so that all these rich, powerful people are putting themselves against the Lord. "Let us break and against his anointed, and let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. He that sitteth in..." So they're like, we don't want any of God. We want to challenge authority. Look at what it says about God. "He that sitteth in heaven shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision," or mocks at them. He's using this imagery to say he's not impressed. "Then shall he speak unto them in his wrath and vex them in sore displeasure. Yet have I set my king upon my holy hill in Zion. I will declare the decree. The Lord has said unto me, thou art my son. This day have I begotten thee. Ask of me, and I shall give thee the heathen of thy inheritance, the uttermost parts of the earth, for thy possessions, thy possession.
Thou shalt break them with a rod of iron. Thou shalt dash them to pieces like a potter's vessel. Be wise now, therefore, O ye kings. Be instructed, you judges. So if you're watching this, Brian Johnson, he's saying, be wise. Pay attention to this. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Lord, Son, lest he be angry and you perish from the law when his wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are all they that put their trust in him. I feel so bad for this guy because he's flaunting all the wonderful gifts God has given him, and his response is to mock Jesus Christ and his followers.
Jesus fed wine and bread, accelerating aging and inebriating, and I will feed nutrients that will nourish and create life. Why is Jesus the continued representation of a philosophical group of a billion plus people? Why can't someone challenge that status and authority and say, no, it's not the resurrection, it's not the afterlife, it's this life, it's don't die?
He mentioned the resurrection. Okay. So this man's trying, this sinful man is trying to defeat death by mocking the one who has already defeated death. Did you catch that? He's mocking. He's trying to defeat death. He's saying you can. Okay. And yeah, maybe he was able to pull his body, some of the features back, but he's still a growing man, meaning he's aging, meaning he eventually will die. But he's mocking the very one, and even says the resurrection. Look at what Jesus says. He says, I am the resurrection and the life. Jesus said that. Well, how is he the resurrection and the life? Because he rose from the dead. And he promises that those who believe in him will also rise from the dead. This man is 100% wrong. Now, I want to say I am thankful for the medical breakthroughs he's worked, because that's going to eventually benefit everybody, because eventually the price will go down. But on the bigger picture, he's trying to have people hope in something that is not possible, because everyone will die. What, he's the first one of billions that's going to pull this off?
100% of you that can do any level of math have to know.
But what is possible is to live forever, because the one Jesus Christ rose from the dead. So as you think about this video, he obviously doesn't know the truth. He thinks Christ produces people that have this philosophical belief. Dr. John Lukes was beautiful when he was talking about why he's not an atheist. And you can watch the lecture. He's a math he's a math scholar, I believe, at Oxford. And he said, I don't know a concept, but I know someone. We don't have a philosophical, even though we don't have a philosophical belief, and that's why we have walk. No, we have a faith in Jesus Christ, who rose from the dead. In John chapter 3, John says this: he that believeth on the Son has everlasting life. So I'm not going to die, even though I may physically die, I'm going to rise and be with Christ. Everyone that believes has everlasting life. And he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. The ones that do not have Christ, they don't have life. They'll be apart from God. Those that know Christ know that they will be with him forever and ever and ever. Go ahead and be healthy. Eat right. Exercise. Those are fine. But on the bigger thing, on his bigger points, don't play games with Christ. Don't insult Christ. Because Christ physically rose from the dead. The tomb is empty. And that gives us the ability to know we will one day be rise up and to be with him. Defeat death? No. Because it was already defeated by Jesus Christ, the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings. Be sure and subscribe. This has been Pastor Matthew. Have a great day. great day. And let's rejoice and make sure we believe in Jesus Christ, the one that is the resurrection life and the one that is returning.
Well, let's be nice. Yeah. Let's be nice. We don't have to go there. I mean, you're not wrong, but you didn't have to say it.
Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Holy, holy is he. Sing a new song to him who sits on heaven's mercy seat.
Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty.
It's good to be here. Just got off the boat. It's a 4-hour ride from Dutch Harbor over here. And they were saying, are you going to share anything about that? Well, I thought I would share something. This is more of a general principle. So we were on the boat and I started talking to an older man. He works here at the plant. And he has a different view on politics than me, which is fine. And in our society, we tend to get so, we either are like, I'm not talking about, or more like, we're going to surround ourselves by a bubble that everybody has to agree with me. But I decided just to ask him questions and listen. I said, I'm trying to understand more than attack you. And it just reminded me again the importance of being listeners, the importance of being affirming. So that's just my thought. But let's all, big thing is remember, people are not our enemy. Satan is the enemy. And we need to love one another. I do want to explain something today about Jesus. Take a minute and think about him. Think about Christ. How did John introduce Jesus? Oh, but by the way, my YouTube channel is called By the Bible. And if you wanted to listen to that and see the visuals, that sound clip you just heard, you can put in By the Bible, comma, Don't Die Guy Challenges Christ. As you can see, he really challenges them. So it's about 12 minutes long. There's shorter ones. So with that, I wanted to ask you a question. How would you introduce Christ? How would you introduce Jesus? What would be your way you would introduce the Lord? The way you would introduce the Lord. Sure, you have different ideas about how to do that. How would you introduce the Lord? I think we could look at John and how he introduces him. In John 1:29, John the Baptist, 1:29, he announces who Jesus is to the whole area he's at. He says in 1:29, the next day, John sees Jesus coming unto him and saith, Behold, the Lamb of God which takes away the sin of the world. He's the one that would take the Lamb is because he was a sacrifice. He would take the sin of the world upon him. Isn't that powerful to think about? That Jesus Christ is the one that would take our sins away? Many of us will not realize that our sin is really that bad, that we need to trust Christ for our sin. We think, oh, I'm not that bad. Well, Christ died for sin. And the way we get to heaven is by trusting him. The way we have a relationship with God is by trusting him. In Isaiah 59, it says iniquity separates us from God, and he doesn't hear. Well, that's sin. So we need to make sure we've trusted Christ and not something else. Some people say, I'm going to trust my church. Well, your church is all right, maybe good or bad, but it's not going to get you to heaven. The only way to get into heaven is by trusting Jesus Christ. Let's have a little more music, shall we?
I long to breathe the air of heaven, where pain is gone and mercy fills the streets, to look upon the one who bled to save me and walk with him for all eternity. There will be a day when all bow for him. There will be a day when death will be no more, standing face to face with he who died and rose again. Holy, holy is the Lord. ارتفعت في وسط اليأس، ترانيم إيمان عند الشك ووقت الخوف، في ذاك النار سيختفي كل الظلام، حين يعود ليمسح كل الدموع، سيكون هناك يوم الجميع يسجد أمامه، سيكون الذي مات وقام قدوم day, we join the resurrection and stand beside the heroes of the faith. And with one voice, a thousand generations sing, worthy is the Lamb who was slain.
That was Hymn of Heaven, and you heard Arabic, Hebrew, and English. It's so powerful to hear praise music in other languages. You can sometimes just sense the spirit and feel the praise. Even though there's not something in the Bible about feeling praise, but there is a, it just touches your spirit so much when you see songs in other languages. Well, we're going to finish off with harp music, harp Christian music. I know that we all have different tastes, and harp is just so beautiful. I saw a lady doing a YouTube channel on how much they can cost. Some of those big harps can cost almost $200,000. I'm like, wow, I'm not getting a big harp anytime soon. I don't play the harp beside it. Anyway, so let's move on, and let's finish out the program with wonderful praise harp music. Just think about what's being proclaimed there. Have a good week. I will see you next week. I won't be this exhausted from my boat ride. And we'll continue through the Gospel of John on the Hour of Hope.
Lord, there is none like
to the promise I have in you.
I've been held in your hands.
like no other. I've known you as a father. I've known you as a friend. And I have lived in the goodness of God. Oh, all my life you have been faithful. All my life you have been so, so good. With every breath above all kingdoms.
You're probably wondering who that wonderful voice is. It's Megan Tippetts, and she's playing the harp as well. So M-E-G-A-N and T-I-B-B-I-T-S, and you can check her out on YouTube. Really, really powerful, powerful music. Like I said, it's been good to be with you. My apologies for my raspy voice, and I feel extra tired from riding on the boat, but we're on a journey, and we want to press on in real life and not be tired like me. It's just been good to be with you. I hope that you're still having a good new year.
Strong, try to make them all think I'm strong. Yeah, the face I keep putting on says I ain't tired, but these tears stained eyes ain't lying. 'Cause hard, nobody told me life could be so hard. A weary soul with a worn out heart that's barely beating. But every time I get that feeling, I hear